नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संस्थापयाय नाम जगतं सतोषुतं लोकाय पत्नी मसि मातरं पिता विधेम चस्याय नमसा सहा त्वया यस्यां स्वतेजोऽग्निम् इवारणावथा. O Lord, for the residential purposes of all inhabitants, both moving and non-moving, this earth is your wife. And you are the Supreme Father. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, along with Mother Earth, in whom you have invested your own potency, just as an expert sacrificer puts fire in the Arani wood. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada. The so-called law of gravitation, which sustains the planets, is described herein as the potency of the Lord. This potency is invested by the Lord in the way that an expert sacrificial Brahman puts fire in the Arani wood by the potency of Vedic mantras. By this arrangement, the world becomes habitable for both the moving and non-moving creatures. The conditioned souls who are residents of the material world are put in the womb of Mother Earth in the same way the seed of a child is put by the father in the womb of the mother. This conception of the Lord in the earth as father and mother is explained in Bhagavad Gita 14:14. Conditioned souls are devoted to the motherland in which they take birth, but they do not know their father. The mother is not independent in producing children. Similarly, material nature cannot produce living creatures unless in contact with the Supreme Father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us to offer obeisances unto the Mother along with the Father, the Supreme Lord, because it is the Father only who impregnates the Mother with all energies for the sustenance and maintenance of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. With much gratitude, I'm very happy to be with you once again in Srila Prabhupada's holy birthplace, Calcutta. Today we are celebrating Varaha Dwadasi, the appearance day of Sri Varaha Dev. And devotees have just spontaneously selected this particular verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha, text number 42. These prayers are being offered by the great sages of the universe. In this chapter, Shukadev Goswami is explaining the appearance of Lord Varaha in two simultaneous millenniums. He's saying it simultaneously. The Sweta Varaha and the Lord who appeared in the Chakshusha millennium. So since they are being combined, we will also explain them accordingly. Lord Brahma is empowered by Krishna or Narayan for the purpose of the secondary creation of this particular universe. When the cosmic manifestation is desired by the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he expands within the Vaikuntha lokas as Narayan and so many other aspects of him, his own self. And from the Lord, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumana, Vasudev, the Lord manifests as Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Mahavishnu. He's in a yoga nidra, apparently resting. And by his own will, upon his exhalation, innumerable universes are manifested. By his own energy, through his own self, he creates this Karunadak ocean from his perspiration. And within the spiritual sky, he creates the Mahatattva, which is like a cloud within the spiritual sky. And the Pradhana, or the potential ingredients and energy for the whole creation, are within that Mahatattva. And by the Lord's grace, he glances within the Mahatattva and impregnates all the living entities, innumerable jivatmas, who by their previous karmas in a previous creation were meant to take birth in the material existence. From his pores and his exhalation, innumerable universes manifested. And then the Lord himself expands from Karuna Vishnu to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, where he's residing in each and every universe. From him, a lotus flower blossoms from his navel, and Lord Brahma is born. Lord Brahma doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know why he's there. So he's trying to find out. The most essential answers to life. So from the top of the lotus, he starts climbing down the stem of the lotus, looking all over the place. But all he sees is darkness everywhere. He climbs again to the top, sits on the lotus whorl of the flower. He doesn't see that it's coming from his father, Mahavishnu, because it's a really big lotus flower. He just sees darkness everywhere. then because of the sincerity of his desire to know, to learn, the Lord speaks two syllables, tapa, instructing Brahma to perform austerity, transcendental meditation. And in that, the Lord reveals everything to him. The Lord reveals himself. Brahma surrenders helplessly, understanding that there's only darkness, that there's only helplessness without the Lord's mercy. That is the first lesson of the creation of all living beings within this universe. That without the Lord's mercy, whoever we are, there's only darkness and helplessness. And then by the Lord's own empowerment, Brahma becomes the secondary creator. And we find in this particular chapter, he's created many sages, rishis, devas, and his own son, Swayambhuva Manu. And Swayambhuva Manu is being commissioned by Brahma to be particularly the leader of humanity. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. The path of spiritual perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. One Mahajan is Brahma. Another Mahajan is Swayambhuva Manu. On behalf of Brahma, he was to be among the people of this world, the leader and the ruler of the people of the worlds, to lead by his example, to establish the laws which are meant to help a person be liberated of all suffering. There's a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Brahma is, because during his night he goes to sleep, and when he wakes up, most of his creation is, he can't see it anymore. It's all in a state of dissolution. And he has no power. He has to take shelter of the Lord every morning when he wakes up. Otherwise, he can't do his work. It's a good example for all of us. First thing in the morning to take shelter of the Lord. We have our Brahma Muhurta. He has his Brahma Muhurta. In fact, the Brahma Muhurta is named after him. He wakes up in the morning and everything's a mess. And he has to take shelter of the Lord. Seriously, he chants more than 16 rounds. He does years and years, his years of tapasya, to be empowered. And Swayambhuva Manu and the sages told him that the earth is in the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. The Garbhodak Ocean is extensive. Even Brahma, who is the father of all beings within this universe, great-great-grandfather, he's the most powerful person in the universe.
Hare Krishna.
He's so powerful that even the great demons like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they perform tapasya to get their powers from Brahma. So we can understand how powerful he is. But when he saw the earth in that state, he was bewildered. What could I do? He had no abilities to save the earth. And saving the earth means saving all the living beings on the earth. Bhumi Devi, who is our mother, a partial manifestation of Lakshmi. And all of her children. So Brahma, hearing the appeal of Swayambhuva Manu, he began to think about what to do. And realizing how there was nothing he could do except take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he meditated upon the Lord. In his trance of meditation, the Supreme Lord incredibly, mystically, unexpectedly appeared in the most unbelievable way. We have seen how the Lord, who is independent, he is Abhidya, he is Swarat, he does things according to his own will. And when the Lord appears within this world, he especially defies, oftentimes. Sometimes he appears in this world just according to the conventional ways that the world works, even though he's transcendental. And other times, he defies all the rational logic of this world just to show who he is. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tatvata tyaktvadeham punarajanma naiti mameti sorojana. One who understands the transcendental nature of the appearance and activities of the Lord never takes birth in this world again, but attains the Lord's abode. Sri Narayan appeared from the nose of Brahma. Have you ever heard of anyone born of a father's nose? Not even the mother's nose, the father's nose. And Brahma didn't even have to blow his nose. Mothers, you know what it's like to get the baby out of your womb? It's not easy. It's not that the baby just goes, okay, it's time. The mother goes through labor pains and she's suffering and she's being tortured. And these days, sometimes just to protect her from too much torture, they take knives and cut her stomach open and take the baby out. A lot of trouble. Whether it's done naturally or unnaturally, it's a huge amount of trouble. That's why all people should be grateful to their mothers, because their mothers went through so much endeavor to give birth. But Brahma didn't even have to sniffle. He was in meditation and effortlessly the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from his nose. And what was his size? The upper portion of the tip of a thumb. And he was a little boar. And he went into the sky and everyone was watching. What is that? Now, don't be dull-headed and just read. The boar came out of nose. We should actually feel the pastimes. We should be there. Here you are standing and you see this little tip of a thumb boar come out of some Brahma's nose. That's quite, everybody's in shock. Incredible. What's going to happen next? This is incredible. This is really a suspense. What is that little thumb boar doing? And then he goes into the sky and grows to the size of a massive elephant. And grows more and more and more and more. Now this is all taking place in Satyaloka. Until he's absolutely huge. Like a gigantic mountain that nobody can even estimate. All the sages, all the rishis, they're all looking upon. Nobody knew who he was or what he was. They were just watching. in shock.
And then the Lord roared. What a roar. When the Lord roars, the sound carries to every corner of the universe. He could roar in such a way that it reaches every part of creation. And it's all coming from one place, but yet it doesn't hurt anyone's eardrums, even if you're standing right next to him. This is his mystic potencies. A couple weeks ago, there was a festival in Mumbai called Inspiro, were any of you there for Inspiro? Okay. Anyways, it was a different kind of festival. And I was invited to speak there. And Gauranga Prabhu was casting his merciful glance. But it was a youth festival. How many came? I was told between 40 and 45, the police count was 45,000 people, all youth between 15 and 25. 45,000 people. And there were all these VIPs in the front. And then all the youth were massive, the Somaya grounds. So you really don't want to be a VIP in one of those programs because they put you in the front, which means right next to, right in front of the speaker system. And the speakers, I know I am exaggerating, but they felt like they were as big as this building, each one of them. They were gigantic speakers with such a high volume because this speaker in the front had to reach everybody all the way in the back of the Somaya grounds. And teenagers, somehow or other, they really like loud music. It was so loud. It wasn't just painting the ears, but it was like every organ inside your body was trembling and shaking. Yes? Literally. Your whole body's shaking, and you could feel your kidneys dancing. And your liver is doing another kind of dance. It's very difficult. And your brain is practically unconscious. So I asked, because I was in the front row, I asked, can't they turn the volume down? They said, so they ran, and they've turned it down a little. And the people way in the back started revolting because they couldn't hear properly. So they turned it back up. So this is the highest technology of the 21st century of Kali Yuga. But Lord Varaha, what technology he has. He could roar with such volume that it's heard not only at the end of the Somaya grounds, but it's heard through all the different, through the 14 planetary systems. From Satyaloka down to Patalaloka, when he roars, everybody hears it. And the sages who are right next to him, it sounded very sweet. It sounded powerful, but beautiful. So this is the Lord's Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies.
When he roared, and when they saw that everybody could hear it, and it was so nice, it was so beautiful.
It's described that Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he would roar when he was in ecstasy with the volume of 10 million lions.
It was so powerful, this roar, that by his yogamaya potency, he had to enter every single person's ears to protect it from being blasted to pieces.
And everyone, it was loud, but everyone liked it. It was beautiful, it was sweet. So when they heard this and they saw this gigantic form, they all understood, this is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Varahadev. And then Lord Varahadev, he kind of jumped up into the sky, and he shook himself so all his hairs were shaking. And seeing that the earth was in the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean, in the mood of a boar, he actually started smelling just like a boar trying to find it. Srila Prabhupada explains this story is very important to understand. Because in trying to spread Krishna consciousness, in many ways we will naturally be confronted with situations that are impossible, that are beyond us. In one sense, the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to save the world. Yes, trying to save the world that's stuck in the bottom of the ocean of nescience, and trying to lift it up and lift people's hearts up. And Srila Prabhupada, it's very interesting, he was on the Atlantic Ocean, which is the most turbulent ocean on this earth planet. And he was, his guru Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Calcutta gave him the order to save the world with Lord Chaitanya's message. Take this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language and spread it through the world. That most historical order, which was the seed of the whole Krishna consciousness movement spreading throughout the world. It was planted in Srila Prabhupada's heart on Ultadonga Junction Road in Calcutta, which by Radha Ramanji's hard work now is in the possession of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. Thank you. Next step is to relocate the tenants so we can utilize it. But the first stage is there. So interestingly, Srila Prabhupada was on an ocean. And like Lord Brahma, who was commissioned to save the world, the earth, he didn't know how to do it. He only understood that Krishna, your power, is the only hope for these people. Please make me your puppet. I surrender to you. So as Srila Prabhupada surrendered to Krishna in the parampara of Lord Brahma, the Brahma Sampradaya, to save the world, in the same way Lord Brahma surrendered to Krishna. This is our parampara. In Navadvip Dham, when Advaita Chandra saw the world in the condition it was in, even though he's Mahavishnu himself, the creator, even he felt helpless. He completely surrendered to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, and with loud prayers and cries, called Krishna to appear in the world to spread the Nam Sankirtan movement. So Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, Advaitacharya is surrendering, seeing the difficulties of this world. Brahma is surrendering. The greatest of acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, is surrendering to be empowered by the Lord. So in purport, Srila Prabhupada describes in trying to save the world through spreading pure bhakti, there will be many difficulties that come upon us. We should never give up. No matter what happens, a devotee should never, ever be discouraged, because it's not about us. It's about Krishna. When devotees cooperate together with the common cause to cry out the names of the Lord, we can actually attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his powers, which may come through us, but may come through somebody else, but Krishna's powers will make everything possible. So however dark, however impossible, however difficult the situation would be, devotees should never give up hope. In fact, the more difficult it is, the more of an impetus, of an opportunity is to helplessly surrender to Krishna and cry out his holy name. So loudly that all your livers and kidneys are just shaking. Very purifying. The universe is... The whole universe is purified when devotees together chant the holy names of the Lord. When we raise our arms in kirtan, we're taking the power of the holy name like antennas and sending it to every part of the universal creation. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Prem Sankirtan movement, to awaken the love of our hearts. Well, this is a very important lesson of this story. Whoever we are, from Brahma down to the little ant, when things become difficult, we should not be discouraged. Srila Prabhupada would say, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Because we are dependent on Krishna. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, just surrender to me and work according to your capacity, completely depending on my mercy. And if you actually succeed in the physical aspect of your mission, then you will gain the world. And even if you don't, you gain something even greater. By endeavoring with complete dependence for the pleasure of the Lord, we attain the ultimate perfection, the highest liberation. So as we are trying to uplift the world from the ocean of nations. We should never think that it's our managerial skills, our scholarship, our good memories, our architectural abilities. It's Krishna's mercy. And we utilize our scholarship, our managerial skills to the full capacity, totally depending on Krishna's mercy. Then everything is possible. This is the beauty of bhakti. Krishna's always there, just waiting to help us when we call out his name. Varahadev then glanced upon them very reassuringly and dove down into the ocean. And the ocean, she cried out that you are cutting me in half. That was the size of Varahadev. And he went all the way to the very bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. We cannot calculate how far that is. And there he sniffed around, just playing. This is his lila. The Lord knows everything. He doesn't have to sniff around. But since he took birth as a boar, boars sniff around. You've heard them, they go. That's what they're famous for. Unfortunately, they usually sniff for stuff that we're not very attracted to. But the Lord creates, and he was the absolute supreme boar. He was sniffing around. That's how he found the earth. Krishna is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. This is the philosophical principle most emphasized by our acharyas in this lila. That the Lord, in whatever form he decides to take by his own sweet will, it has nothing to do with any of the limitations of this material world. His body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. It's pure, it's spiritual, it's eternal. It's beyond karma, it's beyond birth, it's beyond death, it's beyond time. And he appeared as a boar. He lifted the earth with the tips of his tusks. This happened in the Sveta millennium. And he came to the surface, and all the great devas and sages honored him and worshipped him. Now in the Chakshusha millennium, it describes how just previous Jai and Vijay, they offended the four Kumaras. Just in the outs, Hare Krishna, in the outskirts at the gate of Vaikuntha. And they were cursed to become demons in the material world. Their first birth was to Kashyapa Muni and Diti. The elder brother was Hiranyakashipu. And the younger brother, who actually came out of the womb first, was Hiranyaksha. When they took birth, everything possible that could be inauspicious permeated the universe. They started growing very rapidly into gigantic sizes. They performed tapasya to Lord Brahma and got incredible supernatural yogic powers. Hiranyaksha, wanting to please his elder brother Hiranyakashipu, went on a journey to conquer the universe.
He was so strong. He had such mystical powers. He was so angry, greedy, and arrogant. Nobody could stand before him. He was cruelty personified. When the demigods just looked at him or even heard about him, they understood it's useless even to try to fight against this man. Even with all their armies, nobody could confront him alone. You can imagine this person's prowess. Wherever he went to conquer Indraloka. He went there with his club, angry, ready for battle, to destroy, to conquer. Nobody was there. Indra, the king of heaven, heard he was coming, saw him from a distance, and ran away and went into hiding. And all the demigods, any abode of the devas he went to in the Swargaloka region, there was nobody home. They were all hiding in fear of Hiranyaksha. He was traveling around for years. He really wanted to fight. But there was no one to fight. You know, what's the use of being so strong if nobody will fight with you? He was a demon, an asura, but he was a kshatriya asura. He wants a challenge. So he dove into the ocean and went to Vibhavari, the abode of Varuna. Finally, he found a demigod. And he was so angry. But just to mock the demigod, because the demigods were like flies compared to him. He was like an elephant. Like, he fell at Varuna's feet, and just to humiliate Varuna. And he said, "Oh, great conqueror and lord of the sea, please, I beg you for some charity. Fight me in battle." And Varuna was really angry. He couldn't tolerate this demon. But at the same time, he understood there's nothing he could do. So he curbed his anger. And he said, "Actually, I am very old. And my days of fighting battle are long gone. So I cannot stand before you, but if you really want to fight, the Lord Vishnu has incarnated within this world. You should fight with him." Because he and Varuna wanted to really agitate Hiranyaksha. Couldn't fight him, but he wanted to agitate him emotionally. Emotional combat. He said, "Vishnu, he will make you into a dead corpse eaten by dogs. Go and look for him and try to fight with him." So Hiranyaksha was very excited. There's actually somebody who's willing to fight him. So he met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is always very expert at arranging the Lord's leelas. So he told Hiranyaksha where Varahadev was. He was transporting the earth from the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. Now in this particular millennium, Hiranyaksha was like the worst offender of the ecology. Today we have environmental movements and ecology movements. And we understand the basic principle of why there's all these ecological pollutions, which is endangering all life. within our planet. It's greed. The pollution of the heart. When the ecology of the heart is contaminated by greed, it exploits not only human beings, but the resources of this world. Greed, like lust, greed is a type of lust. The craving to acquire, to possess, to have more. Can never be satisfied. It's like fire. The more you put fuel in fire, the hungrier and hotter the fire becomes, and the more difficult it is to put out. So people, there is so much greed in this world. And with that greed, people are exploiting Mother Nature. The earth is our mother, Bhumi Devi. She's providing everything for us. But just for more money, more profits, more power, polluting the air, polluting the water, polluting the rivers, the earth, everything. Well, Hiranyaksha was the symbol of greed. He wanted to conquer and exploit everything everywhere. Hiranyaksha. He wanted to exploit not oil, but gold. Gold symbol, that's Hiranyaksha. Gold symbolizes wealth, prosperity. Because he was exploiting so much, it caused the earth to sink to the bottom of the Garbhudabak ocean. And Lord Varahadev came to save it. Hiranyaksha couldn't tolerate anybody undoing what he had done. He saw Varahadev in the ocean and he was right there with him and challenged Varaha to fight. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedas offer beautiful prayers praising him. Hiranyaksha very sarcastically, indignantly, irreverently called him an amphibious beast. Challenged him to fight and told him, today, you who are supposed to be the lord of the demigods, today I will kill you. And when you're dead, all the demigods will die because they can't live without you. And I will be with my brother, the sole proprietor of everything. And he used the same example that we use, but in a different way. It is one of our common examples coming from Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is like the root of the tree. If you water the root of the tree, every flower, twig, branch, leaf will be nourished because everything is nourished by the root. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual world. Everything emanates from me. I am the root. If you offer your love to Krishna, your love reaches every living being. If we offer our seva to Krishna, our seva reaches everything and everyone that exists in all of existence, material and spiritual, because Krishna is the root. Hiranyaksha understood this philosophy, but he was using it in a different way. If you love the root, your love reaches everything. If you serve the root, your service reaches the whole creation. It nourishes everything. If I kill the root, every part of the tree will die. This was his opportunity. One stroke, everything accomplished. He was running around looking for the demigods. They were all hiding. I don't have to find him. All I have to do is kill you, you amphibious beast boar. I will kill you, and because you're the root of the tree of all of existence, all the rishis, all the sages, all the demigods, all my enemies will die. They cannot live without you. And he challenged him. Now you fight and you die. Varahadev. He said, you are speaking all these words, but anyone could speak words. Let us see you put them to action. That is the test. But at the same time, Mother Earth was still in a very, very precarious situation. So the Lord was thinking about her, Bhumi Devi. So he tolerated the harsh words of Hiranyaksha and continued going to the top of the ocean. And that really disturbed Hiranyaksha. You are running from me in battle because you know you cannot stand before me. What kind of coward, dishonorable. He was really blaspheming the Lord. And those, they were coming from his heart. He hated Krishna. But the Lord, in order to protect Mother Earth and all of us, the inhabitants of the earth, he allowed himself to be a coward, and he even appeared to run from battle. Hiranyaksha chased after him with his club. And the Lord just kept going upward, upward, upward. Then he put the earth in a safe place, floating on the ocean, and then turned to Hiranyaksha. It was the battle of battles. Hiranyaksha had this massive mace and hurled it at the Lord with all of his powers. And Lord Varahadev, he just moved aside. Hiranyaksha again took his mace and threw it with all of his might. It was like a tempest coming at Lord Varaha. And Lord Varaha just took his mace and and soon they were both fighting each other with their maces, and they were beating each other. The sound of the maces on each other's bodies. The Lord was allowing Hiranyaksha to hit him in his different limbs, and the Lord was hitting Hiranyaksha. Pounding and pounding, the sound was deafening. Incredible fight. Then Lord Varahadev, actually at one point, the Lord, Hiranyaksha, knocked the mace out of Varaha's hands. And the demigods and the sages were in great fear. But Hiranyaksha was even though he was really a demon, he did not violate the codes of Kshatriya spirit. He wouldn't hit him because he was unarmed. So Varahadev called for his Sudarshan Chakra. And they were fighting and fighting, and they were fighting a long time. And ultimately, I don't want to go into all the details because time is over. But Lord Brahma, he prayed to Varahadev that it's the auspicious time to kill him, but very soon it's going to be the inauspicious time where the night will come and the Rakshasas gain tremendous more strength and advantage at that time. So please kill him now. They were fighting and fighting. The Lord crushed Hiranyaksha's mace. Then they started fighting with their fists. They were pounding each other.
And Hiranyaksha, with his mighty fists, again and again and again, was punching, pounding Varaha's body. He stood detached. Then, just to show that all along he's the all-powerful one, Hiranyaksha actually did all these mystic powers. He created total darkness. Then he created massive tsunami waves coming at the Lord. And from the sky, there was not just rain, but there was rocks, gigantic rocks coming, just as if they were being shot by machine guns from the sky. There was pus, blood, urine, and stool coming from the sky down upon toward Lord Varahadev. There were naked demonesses with their hair down, carrying horrible tridents, screaming, running, and attacking the Lord. There were lions and elephants showering from the sky with horrible, horrible anger. And Lord Varahadev just watched it all. And then with his Sudarshan chakra, he just lit up the situation and dispelled all the yogic powers of Hiranyaksha. Srila Prabhupada explains herein that the Lord could have killed Hiranyaksha the moment he saw him. But he wanted Hiranyaksha to utilize all of his, to demonstrate and exhibit all of his powers and all of his siddhis. Because the Lord wanted to say, show that he's above everything. And in this incredible fight, Varahadev very casually, with his front hoof, he slapped Hiranyaksha just at the root of his ear. After all this fighting and punching and clubs and mysticism, he just effortlessly went and slapped. Hiranyaksha, his eyes bulged, his limbs trembled, he screamed in agony and fell dead. And all the sages and rishis, they all celebrated. It's described, I'm going to end here, it's described when Mother Earth was floating, when Hiranyaksha and Varahadev were fighting together, the Bhagavatam explains it was like two massive bulls fighting over a cow. Have you ever seen this happen? When two bulls are attracted to one cow, they really become attached. There could be really, sometimes monkeys, two males fight over the same female. It's one of the greatest histories of humankind, of men after the same woman. Well, here we find two bulls fighting after the same cow. And it was a very appropriate example, because the earth is Bhumi Devi. And she, when she wanted Krishna to appear, she took the form of a cow. She's our mother. And the earth is compared to a cow. Mother cow. So they were fighting for the earth. And ultimately, after Hiranyaksha was liberated, Varahadev put the earth right in her proper place with very kind, gentle honor of Mother Earth. And then in these verses we're reading today, the great sages are praising him for his great heroic deeds of saving the earth. And that is why the Lord incarnates. The purpose of all of his advents is to give the opportunity for the people of this earth to be rescued from the darkness and the influence of the Hiranyaksha of greed within our heart. Paramdrisva nivartate, by experiencing the higher taste of devotional service. And we read in the scriptures, there's a beautiful temple in Tirupati, Bhuvaraha. Because Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, in her original form of Bhudevi, is the eternal consort of Varaha Dev. He's the father and she's the mother of all living beings. And they had a child. His name was Bhomasura. Well, first his name was Bhoma. And he was the son, he was literally the son of God. Aham bija pratapita. We are all sons of God and daughters of God. But Bhoma was directly Varahadev conceived him in Bhumi Devi. She was the child. He was the child. But even Bhoma, when he associated with Banasura, due to that bad association, he became demoniac, exploitative. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses this as an example. Because Bhomasura became arrogant due to bad association and caused pain and offenses to the devotees, Krishna killed his own son. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was talking about Vaishnava Aparad, he told this story. He said, if one offends my devotees, is harsh and cruel to my devotees, even if that person is my own son, I must come to punish. And the test of that was how I dealt with Bhomasura, son of Varahadev and Bhumi. On this day, Varaha Dwadasi, we understand the Lord's mercy, his inconceivable mercy. He comes again and again, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, to liberate us from darkness, from suffering. But in order for the Lord to liberate us, we need great gurus like Brahma. We need great Vaishnavas like the sages to appeal on our behalf. Just the day before yesterday, I was at Govardhan at Surabhi Kund, where Indra made a great offense to the Brijvasis. And there was nothing he could do about it himself except approach Surabhi, the mother, a devotee. And when she prayed to Krishna, then Krishna was willing to liberate him. So similarly, when we are stuck in the ocean of ignorance, the Lord comes to rescue us. And when the great souls, the Vaishnavas, the gurus, when they pray for us and show mercy to us, then the Lord will come and rescue us. And in this age, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established his principle. He came to this world to do the work of Varaha, to liberate our hearts from the ocean of ignorance through the chanting of the holy name. Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. I have a conference call.
His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki.